Chapter 65. Jesse had no idea how long it would take Gwen Hadley to get the information he wanted, and, even if she did, how long it would take for her to get permission from the 26th floor to release it. But he had the sense that she didn't want to be on the wrong side of this. He had been a cop too long to expect everybody to always do the right thing. But he still thought most people wanted to, especially if it didn't cost them anything. He decided to take a walk, even though he never felt completely at home in downtown Boston. Not when Jen had been working in local television and living here. Not when he'd come down to visit Sonny. It wasn't about feeling out of place in a big city. He'd been a big city cop in Los Angeles before he got to Paradise. He just always felt like a tourist here, no matter how many times he was downtown. Like no matter where he was, on Commonwealth Avenue, walking toward Fenway Park, or Back Bay, or Government Center, or over at the seaport. There was just too much traffic for him now. Cars, people, the whole goddamn thing. He had decided he didn't want to see Sonny today, that he wouldn't walk over to River Street Place and ring the doorbell. Why? Because he was afraid her ex-husband would be there? Jesse knew her well enough to know that she had as much problem disengaging from Richie Burke as he had from Jen, at least until Jen had finally remarried and moved away. It didn't mean that the feelings she still had for Richie were stronger than the ones she had for Jesse. They had history. Jesse and Sonny had, what? He knew he loved her, even if he had not come out and told her that. At least not lately. It was good, whatever it was. They were happy when they were together. But maybe they were too much alike to ever sustain a full-time relationship with each other, one built to last. He walked over to the Boston Common, then down Boylston to the Four Seasons, where he and Sonny had once sat on a winter night during a nor'easter and sipped martinis and listened to the piano player and talked about getting a room. He stood now and looked in the window at the Bristol Bar, saw a few afternoon drinkers in there, wondered if he might again be one of them someday. He thought about it every goddamn day. Whether he had stopped for good, whether he wanted to stop for good, or if he was just taking a long break between drinks. Dix told him he should go to more meetings than he did. A way, Dix said, to keep the wolf away from the door one day at a time. Jesse had an AA app on his phone. He knew enough about Boston to know there was always a meeting going on somewhere in the Back Bay. He looked through the window now and saw a waiter making his way across the Bristol Bar, two martinis on a tray, placing them on a table in front of two guys in business suits. Were they starting a long, wet lunch? They toasted themselves. One of them saw Jesse looking in the window and toasted him. Jesse lifted an imaginary glass, turned his back on them, and headed back toward Boylston. He felt his phone buzzing in the front pocket of his jeans, took it out, and heard Gwen Hadley say, "It's me." "You got permission," he said. "Not so's you'd notice," she said. "You just convinced me that finding out was the right thing to do."
"So, did you," Jesse said, "find out?"
"I did." Paul Hutton found a match. "He did," she said.
"Who with?"
"Well, the credit card on the matching account is in the name of Mr. Bryce Kane," she said. "He lives in Paradise, Massachusetts," Jesse said.
"You know him?"
"Better than I ever hoped to," Jesse said. "But thing is, the match isn't with him," Gwen Hadley said. "At least, he's not the one who sent in the sample." Even over the sound of Boylston Street traffic, Jesse could hear his own breathing.
"Who did?"
"Someone named Samantha Kane."
"Bryce's daughter,"